Somebody had the microphone there.
It's a little bit corny, but I was just thinking as these verses were being, as what was being said, a lot of us may know the quote by the philosopher Descartes, who said, "I think, therefore I am." But it seems, as what we've been saying, that for the Christian, it's actually the opposite. We've met the I am, and because of that, we can think intelligently. A lot of people in this world, and I think if anyone's in college or any higher education system, Christianity is seen as something of blind conviction, of traditions, of not really any understanding at all. But clearly anyone who thinks that hasn't been to a Bible study or really explored into the scripture, because it's difficult and it's complicated and it's deep and there's mysteries to be revealed. But the problem is that we were talking about this in the young adult dorms the other night. There's so much rationalism that we can apply to the Word of God. And we were talking about the Church of Rome and how some of their doctrines are so rational and they make so much sense and they're so reasonable. But there's no scripture at all in them backing them up. There's no evidence of Christ in them at all. And as we saw yesterday, I think it was, in verse 7, not only are we to be established in Christ, but we're also to be built up. Not only is our foundation, but anything we add to that foundation as well needs to have its origins in Christ as well.
You know, as we lift his name on high, and that's what I think these verses are doing. Some of you were here a couple years ago when we had a film or a DVD that we showed called Indescribable. You may remember seeing how that the earth on that vast universe was just about the size of a pinhead. And do you remember, if you've seen that, that the author or the man that put that out said that if you're going to travel around in God's universe, your miles are not going to do you any good. Your feet are not going to do you any good. You're going to have to use a theory called light years. How far light can travel? We've all heard this in a period of 1 year. I don't know whether you're aware of this or not, but this last year, another greater, bigger telescope was invented. And the scientists have come out now and they have said what we have found entirely baffles us. We cannot even think of how great this universe is. Our minds, they'll go in light years maybe, but it is so much greater. And this is the newest findings that we have found. It is so much greater that we can't express in words. Hey, listen. He spoke, and it was done. And he made the stars also, almost an afterthought. That's the Lord Jesus in creation. Then we come again with this matter of the principalities and powers. And I want you to think of him as the head of all principality and power, the authority. It will all yield to him in a day to come. The man, Christ Jesus. What about in reference to the church? Which in his times, the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show. Who is the blessed and only potentate? You say, well, that's really not telling me enough. And the Spirit of God says, read the next verse. He is the King of all who have exercised kingship in this world. He has kings as his subjects. That's going to be in the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus. The greatest king that we ever knew was Nebuchadnezzar. There had never been a time on this earth when Daniel came into prominence that all of the world had ever been under one monarch. Under Nebuchadnezzar it was there. Look here. A man that has kings, all that had ever exercised lordship, they're under him. This is the greatness of this one that is set before us. And this is why I think of the verse we often hear Tony mention in prayer. Lord, we want to lift your name on high. There's nobody like him. There's no one we can compare him to. We had 499 again. His equal. Young people, we leave here realizing this. He has none. Incomparable. What does that mean? I can't fathom with my finite mind him who is infinite. This is what he is bringing for before the Colossian saints here.
The verse that you were reading is in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15, if you want to write it down.
Thank you, Emil.
And just a note to connect that thought in verse 3, just to connect the thought of that he is the head above of all principality and power, is that the mind and the intellect is looking for something more, something different. But all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in him. And what the Spirit of God wants us to understand is that where he is above all principality and power, as the man who sits at the right hand of God, a man, the fullness of the Godhead in him bodily, that he wants us to move outside of this world. And so if you look at verse 11, it says that in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off the body of the flesh, the sins of should not be there. So it's in whom ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now we know what circumcision is in a natural way. It is the cutting off of the flesh. Christ, yep.
That definition, what is the circumcision? So when you read that verse, you understand it? One more time.
It is the cutting off of the flesh. We remember that in the Old Testament, with Joshua and Gilgal, and the returning of Gilgal after every victory, because it reminded them of the putting away of the flesh. These things Brother Chuck alluded to are connected to the death, the burial, and the glorification of the Lord Jesus. He has gone outside of this world. So if you and I are going to be those who are aware of rationalism that says, I'm leaving God out of every explanation, and we're putting in place my reasoning, it is saying, young people, we need to know we have to cut away the flesh. Be done with the things that are going to pique our natural human reasoning and elements. We need to be those who identify with one who is now seated at the right hand of God. Part of that process is the circumcision made without hands, so that the flesh might be rendered useless.